Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, sponsored each and every day by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. But on one day of every month, we're also sponsored by Mug Sugar-Free Root Beer. And my next guest will explain why that is. And anytime you want to bring me a bribe, that's my preferred bribe. Of course, Colonel Rob Mellon is out of town training other people how to be part of the U.S. military. So Nancy Benz is here. She's the manager of the Quincy History Museum. Have you been on my show before?
For a previous organization, but it was years ago.
So. I was going to say, you look vaguely familiar.
Yes.
Would you describe your hair as red?
It is red.
Yes.
In the
used to describe my hair as red. Now it's gray. So
it was definitely a very like fire engine red when I was little. And then throughout the years, it faded to what it is now.
So. Girl, I'm so sorry. The same has happened. I don't want you to start crying immediately, but it going to look like this.
Oh, I'll go stark
white. In about 20 years. Okay. Kelsey Pig is also here. Kelsey is not a redhead.
I am not.
I don't even know.
No, I'm not a redhead.
You're a natural brunette.
I am. No, I am a natural. I was blonde last year, but that's the only time in my life I've ever been blonde.
Did you have more fun?
No.
Okay.
It was about the same.
Well, we're going to talk about the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County right now. And first of all, congratulations. We ran it as a news story earlier this week, so we don't have to go into great detail. But the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County has won three statewide awards, including one for the second year in a row, and that's for the Governor's Post, which they call a newsletter. Honey, that is a full-fledged magazine.
It is.
That is not no newsletter. So tell us just the greatest thing about the Governor's Post is Nancy Benz, anyone can get it. All you have to do be is a member.
Correct. You don't even have to be a member. We encourage memberships, but you can find it at different locations throughout this city and hotels and the library and places like that as well. It's
the green room of WTAD Radio.
Exactly. I saw it out there. I was like, oh, I should have brought the new edition.
That's what we've got it somewhere. It's floating. But it's a fabulous magazine. Last year you won the Best in the State Award. This year you've repeated with that. That's fantastic. You also, we have a new book in the library of the Quincy Historical Society, and that is a book about John Wood and his relationship with Quincy.
Correct.
That one.
Yeah, so Tales of John Wood. It was published earlier this year. We had a book signing and everything where all the authors came. And basically what it is, it's a culmination of our Once Upon a Time articles that we do for the Herald Whig every Sunday, and they put them in a book and went chronologically to tell the story of Quincy and Adams County and how John Wood, you know, made an impact here and all these other people as well.
And perhaps my favorite, the Tri-State Civil War Roundtable partners with the Historical Society to put on a symposium every year. And my mother, who's been passed now for almost 17 years, she still contributes graciously through me. Every year I write a check for the symposium
because
you know, it's just important. She loved it. My mom, after she became a member of the Tri-State Civil War Roundtable, she only missed one meeting her entire life, and that was the last meeting before she passed.
Oh, wow.
So she kind of had a good excuse. But just amazing. The camaraderie and the friendship, but most importantly, not to me, because frankly, I'm kind of done. I know more than I want to know. But if you're into the Civil War, this group really takes little bitty minutia of the Civil War, especially local minutia, and brings it into full flown.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking a little bit about that later because Dr. George Cricard is going to be giving us a talk about, you know, the medical maladies of Abraham Lincoln. So all these very subsets for history. So the symposium got a state award.
Yes, for programming.
Yeah. And so that, well, it's about time because that is pretty fantastic programming.
It's a lot of work that they put into it, and they get really great speakers and historians to come. And
from all over.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking people come from everywhere, Gettysburg and down south and all the great battlefields. And it's really amazing.
They usually average, from my understanding, they average anywhere between 150 and 300 people that come to it every 18 months. So
yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Nancy, as the museum manager, I want you to talk about the fact that the Quincy Historical Society, the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County, is in two locations, really. we remember your I guess, first location. I don't know if it was the very first, but when the Historical Society came together to save the John Wood Mansion at the corner of 12th and State, that's always been kind of your headquarters.
Correct.
And next door, there's a visitor center, and even you used to have a parsonage next door that you had as a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you obtained this beautiful building, the old library at 4th and Main, and so some of your collection has been moved to 4th and Main. Some of your collection remains at 12th and State.
Mm-hmm.
A critical part of the 12th and State collection for years was this humidity-controlled room that had all your Lincoln artifacts. And it was built at quite a great expense
because
everything had to be kept super...
Yeah, you know, all the environmental controls that you need for artifacts of that caliber is in that little room.
Yeah.
And so with the museum expansion project, that Lincoln Gallery that's at 12th and State is going to move down here to 4th and Main.
Not here yet.
It's not here yet. It's probably going to be more towards the end of the year by the time that gets done. But we're working with some really great people just to make that a little bit more magical for people and an immersive experience.
It's a wonderful experience, but it's very constrained in its scope because you're in this little room because, of course, it costs a lot of money to get this little room perfect for these artifacts. So, of course, it'd be nice if it was, you know, bigger.
Yeah.
But it probably will be bigger.
It'll be three times the size
now.
And we have plans to expand out. So it's still going to be in a room because all of those environmental controls and everything.
Yeah.
But the outside of that room where it's going, so it's going in the Ernest Wood edition, which is the 1928-29 edition on the back of the museum. It's going in there, and we're going to expand that out to tell a broader narrative specifically about Quincy and its impact during the Civil War. And we have some really cool ideas on the horizon for it, and I'm really looking forward to getting it done and completed so everyone can experience this.
Well, we're excited, and if you'd like to go see these artifacts now, you certainly can.
Absolutely.
They're at 12th and State, and they include the manacles, the handcuffs that were used on Lincoln's assassins, and the hood, the assassination hood, and the ties to Quincy. And, of course, just all about Lincoln and his ties to Quincy and Illinois and the people that he surrounded himself with. Many were from Quincy. John Wood, and that's a great story. John Wood's wife basically said, "You can be the governor of Illinois, but you're not leaving me with these seven kids. So you keep your butt right here in Quincy.
Exactly.
Anybody wants to see you, they can come see you here." Because at the time, Quincy was bigger than Springfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like, you know. So because the governor's office wasn't being used, Wood gave it to Lincoln to use to launch his presidency, you know. So there's a big tie there in Orville Browning and all that. So I think a lot of people that don't really understand why Quincy talks so much about Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he was here all the time, but so many people that were his inner circle were here and from here. And that's what makes the connection. And that's why we have all these artifacts.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to what's going to be happening at the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County, chomping at the bit, waiting to get into the conversation is Kelsey Pig. She's never been this quiet for this long. First of all, let's just take off her engineering department person hat and put on your theatrical hat. You were magical in Waitress.
Thank you so much.
I definitely saw, there's really no such thing as new or original art. Did you not see, and you may be too young, but did you not see a great parallel between the old TV sitcom Alice? Had you ever seen the old
I've never seen Alice.
Well, you've never seen Alice?
No, well, I've never seen
you
Alice.
Know what? Oh, that just goes to show that she wasn't copying.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Now I have to watch it.
Go look up Alice. I don't know where you're going to find it. You young kids know about YouTube and all that. Find Alice, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's three waitresses.
Okay.
There's a guy named Mel that owns the diner. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is very derivative.
Yeah, yeah.
Your character was the mousy one.
Okay.
Then there's Flo, kiss my grit. We know which one she was. And then Alice was the main character at Mel's Diner. And, you know, hilarity ensued. And it was the struggles of being a single mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So Waitress, which just closed at Quincy Community Theater, was about, unfortunately, domestic abuse and unwanted pregnancies and people who fell in love because they had historical
references. But in a more uplifting way, where it's not just all of these heavy things. It was a very strong story of friendship and how you navigate.
And you were definitely the you were the
comic relief.
And we'll just,
she was fantastic.
She was fantastic. She always is.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You played a dog one time, didn't you?
I did play a dog. I played Vicky and Terrell Dempsey's dog.
Yeah.
One time in a show. Yeah.
Another part. I was sure I was beaten out of Mary.
Man.
You're just not dog-like enough. Okay. Well, anyway, let's get back to the hat that she wears with Kligner and Associates, because you're also on the board of the Historical Society. So
I am.
Again, it's perfect. People often say, well, why do these people volunteer and do these things? Often what they do for their profession is something they like to do, and then they find a not-for-profit organization that kind of allows them to do that outside of work without anybody bossing you around.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, but it's also so much of, you know, our community is so great, and there are so many different really cool things that we have going on in Quincy, and keeping those different resources and nonprofits strong, I think it's really important for all of us to be involved with organizations like the Historical Society. You know, we're a major educational resource in the area. We in February had basically, was it every fifth grader in Adams County
we
came
had
through?
600 kids.
Yeah.
Oh, we watch them.
Yeah, you watch them every day.
And you know what? They come out skipping and happy.
They do.
You
they
have
love
entertained
it.
Them. And I've been involved in years past with programs at 12th and State at the log cabin and stuff like that. And the kids are fascinated. Mm-hmm. Like, would you tell me what time it is by looking at my clock? And they're looking all over the log cabin second floor. I said, come on. Somebody knows what time it is. Just look at the clock. And they're like, Mrs. Pinky, we don't see a clock. I said, it's right there. And I show them a nail pounded into the door or into the window jamb.
Right.
I said, there's your sundial. I can tell you what time it is right now. You know. And they're fascinated by that because their thoughts have never occurred to them. And it's so funny. Where do you one kid asked me, where do you plug your cell phone in to charge it?
Oh, my
I
goodness.
I said, well, John Wood didn't have that.
Yeah, he didn't have that, unfortunately.
He didn't even have it at the mansion.
No,
so we didn't
no.
even have cell phones. But again, you know, Kligner and Associates, it's so funny because they build for the future in our community. I mean, you're always building for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you're also involved in a lot of retrograde projects to take historical things and maintain and preserve them so that we don't have to keep tearing everything down and building new. We can preserve some of what we have too.
We can preserve and use what we have and have modern uses for these structures. So the History Museum was built in 1888. And in 1888, accessibility really was not something people were thinking about,
right.
you
if
know?
You couldn't walk, tough toenail.
Yeah.
Somebody carried you up the stairs.
Yeah, then you don't come in.
Don't
But that just doesn't work with local history. You know, we strongly believe that everyone should have access to our history. It is all of our history, and everyone should get to experience that. And so this new edition project is really exciting because for the first time in over 100 years, we're going to be able to have people come in through a ground floor entrance. We're going to have an elevator that takes people to all of our exhibit spaces. So people can really experience what we've got in that building. It's something special that right now, just not everyone can access.
And we just saw that tragically. I mean, you know, again, you cannot expect every single building that's historical to be handicap accessible.
Right.
It is not financially possible.
Right.
And so some students have to be turned away. Some adults have to be turned away if there's not an access for them. But usually there's an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about this, you're not changing anything about the beautiful look of this great old library building.
You won't even see it from the square.
The addition is being built and designed so that it, while it is modern and it has all the conveniences like an elevator and bathrooms that are not meant for people whose maximum weight at one time for a woman was 95 and for a man was 135. So the doorways are, you know, bigger than 12 inches wide. You know, all these things are going to happen in this new addition, and yet the way it's being designed, the way it's being built by local contractors, it's all going to come together so that it's a beautiful flow that you will say, yes, there's the old 1800 part. Here's the brand new 2000 part, and they all flow together.
Yes.
We're laughing, though, because we get to watch construction every day. And the other day, the guy was out, you know, taking care of the trees and the trimmings and making the landscaping looking good. And we're like, are they going to bother to mow the grass? Because I wouldn't. You're going to tear it up anyway.
Did you see someone mowing the grass the other day?
Yeah, he was mowing the grass. Yes, he was.
I got to tell you, this is a great story. You'll love this. This is a great story. Sitting across here all the time, I observe, you know, what happens. And I've been a member of the Historical Society for years. And the grass got so tall one year. I mean, it was like up to your knees.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, no.
I called down to the Historical Society. I said, what's the story? And they said, well, we have a lawnmower at 12th and State, but we don't have a trailer. So we have to try to find somebody with a push mower. I said, well, my husband, we have a trailer. Do you want Greg and I just this weekend to go and mow the grass? I mean, it's ridiculous. You should have called. So this is great. My husband loves his John Deere riding lawnmower more than he loves me.
You know how
back in the old days in the war, they would send, you know, the girls, because boy children were valued, but not the girls, out with a stick to push the landmines?
Yeah. Yes.
Greg was so afraid he was going to run over something in the tall grass. I had to walk in front of the mower.
Oh, Mary, no.
Kicking my legs. You know, while he went over the first cut, that got the hay down, you know.
Yeah.
Then we raked that up, and then he did another, when he was sure he wasn't going to run over some kind of, you know,
stick or something,
or stone. You know, or something.
Yeah, there's a lot
but
of stone.
I'm walking in front of the lawnmower, kicking my feet, looking for anything that might damage the John Deere. The heck if I break
Greg.
So anyway, but we did that a couple of times, and then one time they asked him if he could mow the 12th and State, and they said, but we've got a lawnmower, so just use ours. And so Greg did, and of course it wasn't his lawnmower.
Right.
And like it took him like 5 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And he's like, I am never, he goes, I will do this anytime they ask, but I'm never doing it on this old little bitty dinky, little bitty riding mower. You know, good for 40 acres, even though we don't have 40 acres. He was
right.
So,
that's funny.
You know, it just goes to show the Historical Society in this beautiful building downtown and that beautiful building which anchors 12th and State. These are our properties. Yes, they belong to the Historical Society, but they are community properties. And people care about keeping them up. And I will say, you guys always keep those grounds, except for that one time.
Except for that one time.
We have dedicated volunteers that like to do the landscaping there.
Yeah,
and so when the new addition's done and the new landscaping's in, I wonder.
It'll be a fight, probably, to see
who's going to do what.
It's going to be a fight.
And you know, you made a great point that these are ours. Right. This is our community's museum. And I think that that is a really important thing for all of us to remember because, you know, we are still fundraising for this project. We got a grant from the state of Illinois for $1.5 million to, you know, launch the construction of this addition. But, you know, since that money was delayed, it doesn't cover as much of construction as it used to. It now covers about half of construction. Our membership has raised about $600,000 already. And we've got some pretty big announcements coming up soon that's going to take us into the next phase of our campaign. But we're still actively fundraising. So if you are a member of this community, all of us are members of this community. So if you want to contribute to something that's going to continue to be here and continue to be an amazing resource for our community and our downtown ecosystem, you know, definitely consider us and give us a call. See how you can get involved with it.
And if you really want to make a great donation, do is we have a family foundation, the Charlie and Gina Griffith Fund, and each year my brother and I decide, you know, what to spend the money on. And last year it went to the Historical Society for
this
expansion.
Thank you.
Because of course, we have our own personal reasons. But I said, how many times did Mother drag my dad up this?
Right.
Dad going, really, Gina? I can do without knowing this. I'll listen to you down here, you know. But it was so funny because, again, you know, it was a struggle.
It was a struggle.
And that's why you've had to move things now to the senior center. And it's great that more people get to come. And it's great that you have things at John Wood. And it's great that other places have opened up so the Historical Society can do more. But the truth of the matter is, Kelsey Pig, when this gets done, and it's going to be done right by local contractors and local designers, and it's going to have all the historical needs, because that's important for you.
Yes, the
museum part has to be good.
Yes.
And but of course, it's if you have a beautiful museum, but nobody wants to come see it, that's a problem too. So you have to have a spectator experience that is also first class. And you know, it looks like you're doing it. So again, folks, if you have some extra dollars lying around, maybe you're going to get a tax refund. You don't have to give it all. You know, write a check for $50. You know, if everybody would just give $50,
Every little bit helps us, you know?
Yeah, if you've given in the past,
it truly does.
Yeah, if you've given in the past, it might be time to say, well, I thought that would do it, but it didn't, so it might be time to open up the wallet again.
And we're kind of a gateway for Quincy, too. You know, we send people out. Visitors come, and they stop here first a lot of times. And sure. So they'll stop here, they'll take a tour of the museum, and then they'll go out, visit other historical sites, visit other museums in town, visit other nonprofits and other restaurants. And so, you know, we do bring tourists into town. And so the more we can invest in this project, the more people we can actually get into that building and do cooler things as the years go on.
And programming will be moved back to the museum. So.
And, you know, and that's always great. And there's so much programming. I think people just don't realize what's there. I know I'm having a family reunion in June, mm-hmm. and we are stopping at the Lincoln Douglas Debate mm-hmm. Museum. We're going to the Eels House. We're going to do the brewery caves, you know, underneath. Yeah. And we're stopping at the Quincy Museum. We can't do the whole thing. We'll probably pick one thing that is of particular interest to our family members. But, you know, it's fantastic. So, again, the Historical Society is hitting it out of the park. They're winning statewide awards all over the place. They have been very fiscally sound mm-hmm. up to now. They've been very fiscally sound and have never embarked on a project without money in the bank. They had money in the bank, and then COVID broke the bank.
COVID broke the bank.
Wiped it out.
But you know what? Hats off to some of the local vendors who are saying, we know we'll get paid. We're going to keep working. But folks, really, they do need your help. They don't want to incur a debt. They want to be able to do this.
We've been debt-free for 135 years.
Yeah.
So the more we can get community support and donations, the better. And this is something that's truly valuable to the community. I've seen in the little time that I've been here, I've seen people look at those big steps on the front and just have this sad look in their eyes and this wanting, you know, to come in the building, but they can't. Mm-hmm. And so for me, and my dad has mobility issues, and so for me to be able to be like, oh, hey, Dad, come see me at work, and he can actually physically get in, it's an amazing experience, and it's something that truly needs to be done.
Instead of Charlie, we have to get there a half hour before the program starts, because you can't get there until 15 minutes after it starts by the time you make it up all those
things. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But I'll go in and save you a place. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic. If we want to give, how can we? I mean, it's very simple. Just write a check.
Write a check and mail it to 425 South 12th Street. You can go on our website, which Kelsey is redoing, so I'm excited to roll that out.
So what can't she do?
I've been working with Vervosity, and our new website is going to be launching in the next couple of weeks. I've got one last thing to test now that the show is over. I can devote my time to finishing that. So pretty soon you'll be able to go onto our website and make a donation straight to the campaign there as well.
Okay, well, make sure you put on your new website that the last Friday of every month, no, the fourth.
Fourth.
Not the last. The fourth Friday of every month. This has screwed me up many times before. The fourth Friday of every month at 9:15, the Mary Griffith Show features the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County.
And we appreciate it.
We usually have the Better Business Bureau on Thursdays, but today, Don O'Brien is here for a rare Friday appearance, and we'll get to Don O'Brien right after this. Thanks to Kelsey Pig.
Thank you.
Thank you to Nancy Benz.
Thank you.
You both come back anytime you want. I mean, Rob Mellon's pretty nice to look at, but you guys are okay, too. We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's going on there. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Do not adjust your calendar watch. It is not a Thursday. It is a Friday. But Don O'Brien is here from the Better Business Bureau. Good morning.
Good morning. I said when I walked in, you're saving the best for last this week.
Oh, absolutely. And this segment, and only this segment, is sponsored by sugar-free mug root beer from Refreshment Services Pepsi, and there's a little joke involved with that. We are both big Mug Root Beer fans, and Don is my, lookout. Whenever Mug Root Beer appears on the shelves, Don knows about it first.
I'm your hookup.
He's my hookup. I'm like, go buy, go clean them out.
I've got inside sources at
Refreshment
Services Pepsi.
Hijack the Pepsi truck on its way.
Right.
And bring me some Mug Root Beer. Well, let's talk about the scam tracker for the Better Business Bureau, because every week, every month when you come, you've always got a new scam. It's like the scam of the month, and it's so frustrating. I'm so sick and tired of getting some of these phone calls because you don't know if they're true or not. It's really weird. And just like what happened with the Department of Defense, snafu, the journalist that got that thought, surely this is a spoof.
Yes.
This cannot really be happening. So he didn't do anything. He didn't respond. He didn't speak up. Maybe he should have. I don't know. But he didn't do anything. There's no way.
He didn't
new
phone who dis. He didn't,
yeah.
he didn't throw
he didn't
any of that
do
in
anything.
There.
He just sat there and said, this is hysterical. There's no way Pete Hegseth is telling me, the editor of The Atlantic, when the bombs are going to be falling in Yemen. This is a joke. Turned out not to be a joke. But we don't know.
No.
You don't know. So anyway, Scam Tracker. Talk about Scam Tracker. I
so
think
the
this
Scam
is great.
Tracker is exactly what it sounds like. We track scams with that, and it's free to access. You can find it at BBB.org, or if you just put in your favorite search engine, BBB, and then put a space, Scam Tracker. One word or two, it doesn't matter. It'll get you to it. And people report their scams there. So what we do, we've had this since 2016, and we have hundreds of thousands of scams that have been reported during that time, and they're all indexed. And in March every year, we look back at the previous year. We look and we look at the data, and we do ask a little. We don't get that much biographical information from people, but we ask kind of age ranges. Are you 18 to 24, 25 to 34, 65 and older, male, female, military, student, those types of things? Because we want to get a good photo, a good picture of who is being affected. And the Scam Tracker has told us a lot during the 9 years that we've had it. And one of the things it's told us, and it continues to tell us about the people who are reporting scams to us, is that younger and younger people are being scammed more often. They're being scammed and fall for scams now more often than the 65 and olders. That's one of the things, if you ever go to any of my community speeches, I usually throw out, okay, who do you think is more likely to be scammed? Somebody who's 18 to 34 or somebody who's 65 and older? Of course, the prevailing thought is, well, the old people are going to get scammed because they don't know what they're doing. The young people are less likely to identify what a scam looks like than the older folks. I did a bunch of speeches about 2 months ago at Quincy High School. I spoke to a bunch of, like, four classes in a row. And I said, okay, if you think somebody's tried to scam you before, raise your hand. Some kids did. One class, like, no one did. I said, okay, how many of you have this cell phone, a cell phone? Everybody raised their hand. How many of you have ever got a weird text message? Everybody raises their hand. You have been targeted in a scam then. They didn't recognize that. So, it tells us interesting things. It tells us how much, and younger people are now starting to lose a lot of money. Not as much as what the 65 and olders do. Their average loss is about $160, but the younger people are starting to catch up with their losses, because what they're falling victim to are things like cryptocurrency, investment scams, employment scams, things that can be really pricey. Whereas for the older individuals, they're one of the things they get caught up into are romance scam or friendship scams that we've talked about. So it's just fascinating, some of the stuff. I mean, if you're a stat nerd like I am, I'm a sport guy at heart, so I love all the stats. And, it's showing us that the people who do fall victim to a scam can tend to lose a lot of money. And a lot of that stuff is being driven by social media. And, Mary, that's why I love you. You're not on any of these dopey social media sites. You're never going to fall to a social media scam.
I would have to correct you.
What?
Against my will, I became a TikTok influencer.
How did you do this?
I don't want to go into it.
You don't have an account, though.
No, but somebody took my visage and made me a TikTok star. It was against my will. Don't go into it.
But yes, but you don't have the account, though, so you're still not.
But I've been on TikTok.
Well, yeah, we've all probably been on some stuff that we don't, especially.
And I didn't want to be on TikTok.
So, but TikTok. You talk about TikTok. We had that same Quincy High School classes. Okay, so we're talking about scams we hear. So there's this freshman who because I'm asking him, I was like, okay.
Have you noticed how many of them, when they grow up, what do I want to be when I grow up? We just did a thing for the bicentennial. What do you want to be when you grow up in first grade, fourth grade, eighth grade, and senior in high school? About one child out of every class answered, I want to be an influencer.
An influencer. So this young child, this freshman at Quincy High School, must have got it hooked up by somebody, some influencer or something they saw on their TikTok timeline. And this TikTok person said, okay, do you want to flip your bread? Do you know what flipping your bread is? Taking your money and then making it bigger. So get rich quick. Flip your bread. So this young man was told that if he sent this person $100, that the person was going to send him back $1,000. Well, the kid...
He used to call that a chain letter back in the old days.
What it is now is just straight ripoff. Because what this young man did is he sent the $100. Once the $100 was sent via Cash App or some type of electronic... You know, it's not like he handed him a $100
right.
bill. Sent that electronically to him. Then the TikTok influencer, in quotes... blocked him, cut him off. He did not get his $1,000 in return. So, you know, it's stuff like that. Kids, you know, they don't, you know, for older people, it might be that...
That chain letter, remember?
Yes.
Put a dollar in this and send it to the five people, you know, and you add your name to the bottom, and in 3 months, you're going to get $60,000.
Yes.
And when we were little, I never participated in anything that had money to do with it, but kids would start this chain letter stuff. Our parents would be driven crazy because back then, I don't know, a stamp was 3 cents, but my dad was so cheap. He's like, I'm not paying 15 cents to send letters to five different people.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, I have to. If I break the chain, our house will be consumed by
yes.
the fire, you know. So it's just, there's really nothing new. It's just the way we're doing it.
Yes.
And that's the really scary thing. We now have the purpose of our own demise, the tool used to take our own money away. We hold in our hands mm-hmm. every day, or we sit down at a computer every day. So scam tracker, critically important.
Yep.
Go see what kind of scams they're tracking and go see what the most vulnerable ones are for your area.
The top five most risky scams for 2024 were investment crypto scams. This is across all age groups. Employment scams, romance friendship scams is third. Online purchase scams, which was number one for several years in a row. These other ones are so more expensive, much more costly now that they've flipped past online purchase scams. And then home improvement scams. And I want to touch on that real quick, too. Nice weather's here. You're going to get people going door to door. Remember, in the city of Quincy, they have to show you a solicitor's permit if they come up to your door and say, hey, can I put solar power on your roof? Can I put new shingles on your roof? Can I cut down that tree? They have to have that. If they don't have that, call non-emergency number.
Get rid of them right away. We're going to spend the last few minutes talking about something near and dear to Don O'Brien's heart, and that's the Alzheimer's Association with a sports trivia night to benefit the Alzheimer's Association on April 4th, coming up just around the corner.
Week from today.
Doors open at 6:30 a week from today. Trivia starts at 7 at the American Legion Hall, 116 North 8th. $100 for a team, the genius table. I'm not even going to go in there. If you have to buy the answers, you're not a genius. But anyway, there is a genius table offered. So, Don, how can we get tickets for this? And more importantly, it is all sports trivia. Are you curating this?
I am the quiz master. And Mary, just when you think you know the answers, I change the questions. Yes, I'm the one who put us, I'm the Alex Trebek, if you will, of this one. We were just talking about Classic Concentration on the way in when he used to host it. So yes, I'm gonna play the role of quizmaster that night. $100 a team. Now I've talked to some people who are like, I don't have a team. Just show up because we'll get you on a team. It's $15 for an individual. Should be a really fun night. We've got Cardinal tickets as a prize. We've got a Bloody Mary. Cardinals tickets provided by WGEM. We got a Bloody Mary basket. I'm sorry. Yep, I know.
You know, you could have asked for us. We could have provided Cardinal tickets too. But no, too late now.
Maybe we'll have extra Cardinal tickets after this. We've got a Bloody Mary basket by First Bankers Trust.
Mary basket from First Bankers Trust?
Yeah, you know, they
I know
it.
They tip there a lot. And they're always drinking on Friday. Today's my payday. My damn check better be in there.
Oh, they'll be fine.
Okay, they didn't use my check to buy this Bloody Mary basket,
did they?
No, not
at all.
Okay, good.
Not at all.
Because Obert is, you know, he's not to be trusted.
He's a fellow Rotarian.
Feel great, rotate. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, come out. You can check out the information on Facebook. Go to Walk for Alzheimer's, Quincy McComb. You can give me a call, 217-209-3972, or email me at dobryan@quincybbb.org. We'll get you in. Just show up that night. If you don't have a team, you want to have fun. A lot of some of these trivia nights can be kind of long. Seven rounds. We're gonna get you in and out of there in like two and a half hours tops.
Thank you very much, Don O'Brien.
Thanks for having me.